as we've studied what we believe from the beginning of the year, let's recap a little. First, we understand and know there's no such thing as when God was created or who created God. God is spirit. He has always been. Now, can you wrap your mind around it? No. If you could, he would not be God. If you could understand everything that's going on in your life, you would decide that you don't need God. I have never met anyone that understands what's going on in their own life. And I'm talking about at any point, at any time. You think about that. Well, God is spirit. God wanted to create the most beautiful of all his creation. And today we're going to talk about that created being, mankind. But from the beginning, well, let's do it this way. From before beginning, God has always been and always shall be. You and I who've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life shall always be with him. Amen. Nothing, no one, no spiritual realm, no foe of God will pull you away from the everlasting love and protection of God. So God looks at what he's getting ready to create before creation began. Now you listen to me. God knew you were going to be a mess before you were created and became a mess. So you're not surprising God with your actions, okay? Or, you know, I bet that really surprised God what I did. No, you do not surprise God. God just sees you as already complete. You see yourself as you are. God looks beyond. And he sent Jesus Christ. That was his next step. He knew before time began, man was gonna mess it up. And we did not disappoint him. Man had been messing up ever since man was in the Garden of Eden. People say, you know, well, if I can just get enough money, if I can just have this, you know, if I can just get good looking enough, if I can just get hair, everything will be fine.
It is.
Yeah. And God says, it's fine. Anyway. Now, God then says, I'm going to create man. And again, I'll get into this in a minute. I create man in my image. Well, you need to understand God is spirit. So therefore, man is spirit. We are spirit with a body made out of dirt that God created for us. That's the human being. So God is creating man to be a recipient of his love. And the only of all his creation with the ability to love God back. And to express our love back to God. We express our love back to God by whatever gifts he gives us that we return and use for others. We express our love back to God for all the blessings and what he has given us by giving to others. We return God's love, blessing, by telling the world that our God loves you. He sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross for you. And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it ain't been getting any better than that, people. God came down to walk in human form. Yeah, I believe it. I have no doubt. Well, you know, that's a little far out there. What are you talking about? It was a little far out there when I told you God has no beginning or ending. God always had been. God is spirit. He's never created. That's way out there. This is nothing compared to what you and I haven't got to see yet. Woo! Now you talk about the beauty again of space. All those beautiful colors you'll see David flash up ever so often of outer space and all that goes on. When you look at that, I want you to think not of what you're seeing there, but of what's to come. So God then sent his son for us. Well, let's read about him. Let's stand together, please, as to why he did this. Together.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
May God's blessings be upon the reading of his holy word. Thank you. You may be seated. So Jesus, then, it comes time, he fulfills what he came to do. Jesus was born to die. And after death, to conquer it. You know, everything Jesus was born to do, he did and is continuing to do. Do you know Jesus didn't just start a work in you and then give up on you? You know how you are about, yeah, well, ladies, you know how it is when you say, honey, husband of mine, will you fix this? Yes. 52 years later, you're still asking, honey, will you fix it? I'll get to it. Give me a little time. Jesus has fixed you. Yes. You're solid. I mean, when you leave this body and you enter it, God's realm, Jesus is proud of you and he's presenting you. You. As a blessing to God the Father. Do you ever count yourself as a blessing? Your family, people. Is not that little baby child a blessing? And then you just slobber all over those kids until they become teenagers. You know, you would do all of that, and then we'd try it again later. But think of it. So Jesus comes, he fulfills the purpose of the human race. And to show us how much he loves us, he said, I'm going to leave now. He's telling his disciples. But I will not leave you alone. I'm going to send a comforter, God's Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God's Holy Spirit. All the head of God, the family of God, watching the human race. What, I keep telling you this. I wish you'd pay attention to it. Everything was created before God created man. Everything was created for mankind. God said that we are his crowning glory. Oh, but I mess up. You didn't surprise the Lord on that mess up. You see, I don't understand life, but I'm living it. I'm walking through it. I don't understand why all of the bad things happen to good people and all of that. I don't know. Don't claim to. But I do know this, that I have a Savior who has promised me, despite myself, You know who your worst enemy is? You. Look in the mirror. That old tongue gets to going. Just take that tongue to the mirror and talk to yourself. You will see. Well, let me tell you what I think about me. Oh, that'll be an earful, won't it? You know what God says? Let me tell you what I think about you. I sent my only begotten Son to give His life for you. Bad, good, ugly, it's called life. Now, God set us here to live it. I still don't understand it. But I know that I'm here for only a short period. Have you learned this about the human race, mankind? We don't seem to ever be satisfied with anything. Again, I remind you, Adam and Eve had it made in the Garden of Eden. They didn't lack nothing. Nothing. But they chose to defy God, to go against God's word. That was a choice. And again, we keep saying, well, you know, when I get to this stage of life, or, you know, when I get here where I'm comfortable, when I get, folks, if you won't serve the Lord where you are, you won't serve Him. I don't care what you have. You'll still find an excuse not to, not a reason. You just won't do it. You want inner peace? I'll tell you the peacemaker. His name is Jesus. But God pays attention to us. And I used to worry about a lot of things. Growing up in the young days, as a father, as a young preacher, as a chaplain, and, you know, all the areas of walk of life, I would worry. You know what I found out? Not one second of that worry did anything good for me. And it didn't change anything. Life continued to go on. I'd have a case of the stupids and do something horribly dumb. That's called life. But then the picture comes. The picture of all the beauty of all creation. That Almighty God, the one without beginning and the one without end, He created for me, for you. There is peace because God wants us to have peace. There is love because God so loved that He gave. Anytime you'll see love, you'll see giving. That's love in action. So God created the human race in His own image, the scripture says, meaning He's spirit, and He formed the body. And this body is only formed for a short period of time. Now, before you get so overwhelmed in that, that's the blessing. See, mankind has fought against God since the beginning. Well, every time God wants to bless us, to give us our freedom, what do? We'd rather be slaves to someone else. Slaves to an ideology, slaves to money, slaves to this, slaves to that. Moses, I want you to go to lead my children out of bondage. Moses goes, he does exactly what God says. What is 300 years of bondage? Or to 400. You all straighten me out. 400 years of bondage. God sends Moses. Free them. Moses go to free them. Well, you'd think they'd be happy about it, wouldn't you? The freedom? You'd think a Christian would be happy about the freedom of salvation and glorify God in that freedom. Do you know how long it took for the Israelites to start complaining against God? 48 hours. Man, 2 days and that's enough. You know, we got it good here. Hey, okay, so we're slaves. That's okay, we're good. Because we have pheasant. We have all of the great fruits and vegetables of Goshen. We've got it all. We're pretty good. Now, Moses, you know they didn't like him from the beginning. Did you know that? They rebelled against him. They tried to kill him. They didn't want to be free. Moses was doing what God said do. So he goes, they rebel against him. Come to the Red Sea. You know, we're not going to make it. They are griping and moaning and groaning. What happens? God opens it up, dries out the ground, said, walk across. They're griping because they got to walk. That's the human race. And they griped and they moaned and they groaned until God said, that's enough. I've heard enough, people. I have given my all. Well, folks, Christian, listen to me. How much more, what a greater gift than that we have received the gift of the Son of Almighty God for our eternal life. Peace! I will not pay for my sins. No. Nobody's throwing a board of sin at the gate against me. Not going to happen. I know Jesus. And I want you to know he took care of that. I'm not depending on what man thinks of me. I'm already blessed because Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. It's the word of Almighty God. So they griped and they complained as you hear today. Oh, America is horrible. America is the greatest nation that's ever existed. And maybe the last that will exist on planet Earth until the Lord comes. I bless you and bless you until the day comes when I say enough. Now that's frightening. But let me tell you, the great promise Jesus gave me was, I promise you, you're not going to have to put up with life for very long. But how many people do you know today that are so upset over death? Oh, my mother was 105 years old. Why did God take her from me? He took her from me because she's driving me nuts because she's still stuck in that body and didn't want to be. Don't you get it? That's how Christians ought to look at life. Not here, but in the realm of eternity. Moses, in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 90. In Psalm 90, there's a verse there that gives you a record of how long you ought to live. I've already exceeded the time. A lot of you in here have exceeded the time. Listen to this. Psalm chapter 90. You know what that is? That's Moses pleading to God on behalf of the Israelis, the Hebrew nation that's griping against God. Lord, and then he puts this down on verse 10. He says this, the length of our days is 70 years. 70 years. Or 80 if we have the strength. Yet, or I could use a but there. Yet the span is but trouble and sorrow. For they quickly pass and we fly away. Oh, Brother Randy, ought to have We Fly Away, oh glory, shouldn't he? Ought to be a song right there. We'll fly away. I'll fly away, Lord. The Lord says, look, 70 years. That's the average. Anything above that, just by natural strength, gene pool, whatever. You think, you know, that's not very long. I think, you know, that's not very long. I'm 74. Man, you talk about borrowed time. Yeah, I got news for you. There's a reason I'm still left. There's a reason you're here. But the 70 years, the Lord says, I will bring you home. See, I don't care how many years I got left. I know where I'm going. The years aren't going to stop me from getting there. Look, if the sin that Christ died for, because he died for that sin, cannot stop me from going into eternity with Christ, what am I sweating? Mankind? Well, man can't do anything to me. It's all in the hands of my Creator. As all the nations would say, the God with no name, because it's too holy to pronounce. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You can't change that. Male and female, he created them. God is in control. His own image, again, is spirit. Listen to Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. I'm made out of dirt. But I really got a sweet spirit inside of me. Some of you just haven't seen it yet. Go to heaven with me and you get to see it there. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils. And the man became a living person or a living soul. Man became a human being. As some want to say, a human becoming. Because it takes a lifetime, doesn't it? To finally think you're catching on. And as soon as you think you're catching on, you realize, man, I'm not even close to catching on to this, am I? Well, but don't worry, Larry. I'll have you up here with me pretty soon. That's a blessing to me, folks. Mankind was the goal of God's creation. Talk about coming across the goal line. God said you and I, us being created, was his goal. All of the beauty and all of the power and all of the greatness of God's creation was created for you and me. So, mankind exists, and we are an odd bunch. Every personality different. I could have a color here. I could have black, or I could have white. I guarantee you we'd sit around in a circle and argue about whether it's black or white. Well, no. You know, I know you said that black, but it looks a little darkish brown to me. The white, oh, it's dingy. No, it's not white, white. We'd find something to argue about. God looks at us and he smiles. You know how I know that God's smiling with us and for us now? We're still here. Hey, I know what happened. I've read the book, folks. I know what happens to people that God doesn't smile at. Why, it was during that very same time that all the griping and moaning and groaning is going over. God sends out 12 spies, go in and to see what's going on in the promised land, come back with a good report. Out of the 12 spies, only 2 came back with a positive report. You know what the other 10 did? Oh, they're a bunch of Baptists for sure. The other 10 started griping and grumbling. They sowed discord among the brethren, among the families. You had Joshua and you had Caleb. They said, I don't know what these 10 saw, but God can deliver us. Let's go. But they had sowed so much discord, the 10 did, that God declared judgment upon them. You do not want to be around God's judgment, much less have God's judgment declared against you. So God said to them, the 10, you will die. Now, this isn't the 20 year and above yet. He has not proclaimed that yet. You 10, you've stirred up the people. You've told them that I can't. Don't ever tell the world that God can't, because he already has. And God struck all 10 of them then with a plague, and they died. Then to all of the grumblers that grumbled about God's man, God's plan, God's food, the water was dingy, the water wasn't sweet enough, everything was wrong. Well, we got to eat this manna. Why, it's angel food. Who wants to eat that? Yeah. They griped. And he said, because of your sin, I'm fed up, he says. You're never happy? Well, mark this one down. Not a one of you who's grumbled against Moses, grumbled and griped about everything that's been done for you, not a one of you will ever enter the promised land. You will die. Those of you 20 years of age and older who have grumbled against me and my man and my plan and my blessings, you will never, ever enter the promised land. You will die first in that valley of Kadesh Barnea. They spent 38 years and they died out, and eventually they get across to the promised land, those who are left. And God says, I created man. Man is my family. Those who do not want to be a part of the family of God have the freedom to refuse to. Listen to me, folks. Just because you sit in a church in a pew does not make you a Christian, does not make you saved. If you have not personally given your life, your heart to Jesus Christ, and you acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior, you will never enter the gates of heaven. Never. And I say that with a heavy, sad heart. For I know that there are always those who connive, those who fuss and argue and drive people away. You will never see the promised land until you repent and accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. That's a fact. But you see, we're the goal of God's creation, but all mankind must die. That's just God telling us this. Look at Hebrews 9:27-28. Just as everyone must die once and be judged. Well, preacher, it said I'd be judged. I'm judged through Christ. Hey, I've already got it. You got me? Jesus took my punishment. I'm free. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is free. So Christ was offered as a sacrifice, I told you, one time to take away the sins of many people. Why did he say many? Because not everybody's going to accept him. Only the ones who do. And he will come a second time. Brother Randy told you that this morning again too. Not to offer himself for sins already done, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. I'm a Christian. I'm waiting for the Lord. Now, the Lord's curse at the beginning of mankind and mankind messing up Adam. I want you to remember this. The curse was on the ground, on the dirt. Now, why? I don't have any idea. But it was on the ground. But I will tell you this. The curse was not on work. He cursed the ground. He didn't curse working. So you're allowed to work. Get out and get a job. Do something with your life. Glorify God. Doesn't matter what it pays. Glorify God in it. God will take care of the rest. But you do what God's called us to do and the way he has set it up to do it. Mankind must die. 70 years. I'm already above that 70 years. But I must die. Why? Why must mankind die? Because. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Listen. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I'm flesh and blood. Until I separate from this flesh and blood, I cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. The physical body is corrupt. We are human beings. We are all flawed. I don't care what someone else tells you. Yes, they're flawed. All of us. So in order for me to receive the blessings God's promised, this body must die. That's why it dies. But listen, Christian. You won't see it. Now you hear me on this. The Lord said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this, or do you believe this? And he who belongs to me will never see death. Amen. You're already gone. Don't you get it? You think, you know, I got to be here in this dying body. Well, you're in it and you're hurting. And as a Christian, you're praying, Lord, please, any time when you're ready for me, I'd like to come home. This body hurts. Any of you notice that? Have you noticed that you probably woke up this morning, you got a new pain somewhere? And you're still working on the old pains. If your wife really loves you, she'll tell you, yep, your pain. To let us know that until you leave this body, you're going to feel it. Huh. Reckon maybe that's for me to remember just a touch of the pain my Savior went through. Oh, nothing close to the actual pain. But just a touch. This body brings pain because this body is broken and it's sinful. Why must I die? Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then, at death, shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Your spirit. You're going home to be with the Lord. And then you'll ask this question. Guarantee it. Wait a minute. If I'm spirit, Brother Randy said this morning, right before you started preaching, preacher, that the Lord's coming back and we're going to have glorified bodies. Why is it that if we're spirit and I'm already with the Lord, why do I need to be a part of the resurrection and a glorified body? When God created the human race, He created man never to die. But sin entered in, causing death, because that which is sinful cannot come in the presence of God. But God will never allow sin, Satan, to control His creation. He said He had created man to live forever, and man shall live forever, and you'll look like Jesus looked. That's a glorified body.
Praise your Lord.
All hell cannot control God's plan for you. So God said, I'll finish it out. But now see, God said, there's a time when this is going to take place. It won't take place 1 second sooner than God's plan. No, you're not going to wish it away. God says it will happen. You know what all you and I need to know? God said, I will forever be with Him as soon as I accepted Jesus. See, my salvation doesn't start when I die. I'm already saved, signed, sealed, and I'm just waiting to be delivered. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. Oh, people say, this is so hard to hear. God, we ain't 70 yet. This ain't hard at all. And the day you die is better than the day you are born. The day you die is better than the day you are born. Hey, happy birthday. Happy birthday. But Larry Pete died. Happy birthday, Larry Pete. That'd be something y'all could do. Get around my casket and sing happy birthday. That'd drive half the people crazy and they'd leave. That would be neat, wouldn't it? What are those people doing? I don't know. That preacher was one of those wild ones, and he said that the day you die is better than the day you're born. Well, for one thing, I didn't say it. God did. The main thing is, yes, I believe it. Yes, I believe it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, mankind. Next Sunday, let's join the family as God means it to be. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and man. And Jesus said, Father, as you and I are one, I pray that they will be one as we are. And God's word says, God loves you and me as much as he loved his own son. Welcome to the family next Sunday. And it don't get better than that.